You're listening to continuing coverage of the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
I have nothing further, Your
Honor. Redirect.
Just briefly, Mr. Souza. Mm-hmm. Do you recall a single scene that was going to be filmed in the movie where anyone was loading the rifle with ammunition?
No.
Do you recall a single scene in the movie that was going to be filmed where anyone was cycling ammunition through the rifle?
No.
I don't have anything further. Thank you.
You're excused. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next witness.
Can we approach real quick?
Yeah, but we're not taking a lunch break.
What's that?
All right, state your next witness.
The state calls Emory Chacon.
Please, the judge, raise your hand.
Do you swear or affirm under penalty of law that the testimony you'll give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you just move a little closer to the microphone and speak into the microphone, sir?
There we go.
Thank you. Would you state your name?
Name is Emory Chacon.
And in October of 2021, how were you employed?
I worked the front desk at the Inn at Santa Fe.
And during that same month, did you befriend Hannah Gutierrez?
I did.
And during your friendship with her, did you have an opportunity to be... Well, let me back up. How did you get to know Ms. Gutierrez through your work at the hotel?
Well, I work the second shift, so I check in guests. It's my job to be polite, friendly to guests, so being polite, friendly, started small talk.
Was Ms. Gutierrez a guest at the hotel?
Yes.
Do you know if other crew members from the set of Rust were also staying at that hotel?
There were other crew members.
And at any point in time during your friendship with Ms. Gutierrez, did you have an opportunity to be in her hotel room?
Yes.
And if you recall, approximately how many times would you have been in her hotel room?
Can't really recall. I just, maybe a handful of times.
Handful of times, okay. When you were in her hotel room, did you ever take notice of any boxes of ammunition?
Yes.
And I want to be clear, are you familiar with guns and ammunition at all?
I am.
Based on your experience, were you able to determine whether the ammunition was for pistols or rifles or anything?
I saw what looked like maybe a couple of rifle rounds, maybe shotgun shells, maybe one pistol round.
And when you say that you saw the rounds, were they in boxes?
There were a few that were not in boxes. They were sitting on the counter in the room.
And to the best of your recollection, were any of the rounds that were not in boxes pistol rounds?
One.
One was a pistol round. Do you recall approximately when you saw, and let me ask you, other than the rounds that were not in boxes, did you see boxes inside, did you also see boxes of ammunition in the room?
Yes.
And do you know whether the ammunition that you saw was real ammunition or fake ammunition for the movie?
I don't know the physical difference between fake ammunition and real ammunition.
Understood. Do you recall approximately when you would have noticed the ammunition in her hotel room?
It was maybe towards an evening. In terms of like exactly what day, I can't give.
Do you know whether it was towards the beginning of her stay or the end of her stay?
Towards the beginning.
Did you see the ammunition in her room on more than one occasion?
No.
Just one occasion?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'll pass the witness.
Pass it to you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Tricone, I think you said you were a hotel desk clerk?
Yes, sir.
And sir, what hotel was that?
The NS Santa Fe.
Okay. As part of being a desk clerk at the hotel, did you check Ms. Gutierrez-Reed in when she started her stay?
I did.
Now, you did not know her before that, right?
No.
So you just came acquainted with her from her being a patron and coming to the hotel and you checking her in to stay there?
That is correct.
You said she at the start of her stay is when you believe you saw the ammunition. What day was that?
I can't recall.
Do you recall if that was in September of 2021, October of 2021? Do you have any idea?
Maybe mid-September.
Late September?
About.
Okay. Okay, and you were up in her room. I know that you all texted, that you had texted Ms. Gutierrez-Reed, is that right?
Yes.
And did you go to a movie with her one time?
Yes.
Now, after that, didn't you want to keep texting her and have a different type of relationship with her?
Quite possibly.
Okay. That's what you wanted, isn't it, at that time?
Not too sure how it would have worked out, but perhaps.
Okay. And she, it was pretty clear from her text back that that's not what she wanted to do, right?
Yes.
Okay. Over a period of time, you kept texting her and she just quit texting. Is that fair?
Yep.
Okay. Now, I know that you said on direct that you can't tell the live ammunition from a blank ammunition, for example. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay. And you also probably wouldn't be able to tell a dummy round from a live round, right?
Correct.
Now, these boxes that you had mentioned, do you remember what color they were?
I remember they were kind of a army green, hard plastic.
Okay, and you just don't know exactly what was in them or what they contained?
No.
Okay. And in late September, you're aware that the filming had not started yet for the movie, or do you have any knowledge of that? Okay. Do you have any knowledge of when the movie started filming?
No knowledge.
Okay. Gunner, nothing further. Thank you.
May I redirect?
No, Your Honor.
All right, you're excused. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next witness.
The state calls Wyatt Mortensen.
Stand before the judge, raise your hand.
Do you swear or affirm under penalty of law that the testimony you'll give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. Have a seat. Talking to the microphone.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Go ahead and state your name for the record.
Wyatt Mortensen.
Mr. Mortensen, what do you do for a living?
I'm a wrangler and stuntman.
Explain to the jury what it means to be a wrangler.
We take care of the horses on the movie set. We give actors riding lessons, and we make sure that nothing bad happens to the horses or anybody that's around them.
Were you employed as a wrangler on the set of Rust?
I was.
In your capacity as a wrangler on the set of Rust, how frequently were you on set?
Pretty much every day.
Okay. And in addition to taking care of horses, were you also in some of the scenes that were filmed?
I was.
And in what capacity were you in those scenes?
I would dress out and drive wagons or ride horses in the background, some stunts.
Okay, great. Can you give the ladies and gentlemen of the jury an idea about your background and experience in the film industry as a wrangler and or stuntman?
Yes. I just got in the industry when I turned 18, which was 4 years ago. And since then, I've been working pretty frequently on 24 films, give or take. As a wrangler in stunts, I've worked with numerous actors and many different people that are big in the movie industry.
Mr. Mortensen, prior to working on the set of Rust, did you work on any other movies that had guns and armorers?
I did.
Do you recall approximately how many films you worked on that had guns and armors prior to Rust?
About every movie I've worked on.
Okay. Every movie?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you give us an idea of how many movies that would have been prior to Rust?
Prior to Rust, maybe 5, I'd say.
Okay. And did you have an opportunity while you were on set to see Ms. Gutierrez perform her work as the set armorer?
I did.
And was there anything about the manner in which she performed her work that caused you concern?
Nothing directly.
Let me ask you this. Do you recall... can you describe to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury how she brought the guns and ammunition to set from the prop cart?
Just carry them by hand.
Did that seem unusual to you?
Nothing too unusual. No.
Mr. Mortensen, do you, hang on just one second. Do you recall an incident where a rifle was lost on the set?
I do.
Can you explain to us how a rifle was lost or what you recall about that?
We were doing a stunt in the middle of town, and after we were done, I was asked if I've seen a rifle anywhere on set.
Do you recall who asked you that?
I do not.
Okay. Do you know whether the rifle was found?
I don't.
Mr. Mortensen, do you... Did you ever take notice of guns and ammunition being left unattended on set?
I did.
Can you explain to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what you saw with regard to guns and ammunition being left unattended?
I seen guns and ammunition on a small cart that was left on the set periodically?
And when you say periodically, how frequently do you think you saw guns and ammunition left unattended on that cart?
Most days that we had guns.
In your experience with armorers on movie sets, did that seem unusual to you?
Yes.
And if you recall, or if you can estimate, approximately how long would the guns and ammunition be left unattended on that cart?
I can't truly recollect.
Sir, do you recall in this case having a pretrial interview where you had to show up and talk to us about your testimony?
Via Zoom, yes.
Yeah, that's right, via Zoom. Do you recall specifically what you said during that interview about approximately how long the guns and ammunition would be left unattended?
I can't remember.
Would it refresh your memory if I showed you a transcript of our conversation?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. May I?
Yes.
And if you want me to scroll. Did that refresh your memory?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Can you answer my question now?
Yeah. Close to an hour or so. Yeah, sometimes more.
Do you have personal experience with firearms?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell the difference between real firearms and replica or fake firearms?
If I'm handed one and I can see it closely, yes.
Do you know whether the firearms that you saw regularly left unattended on the prop cart were real?
Yes, most of them seemed real.
Okay. And when you say they seemed real, how would you know that?
Just because most of the guns on the movie set were real.
And did you see scenes that were filmed on the movie where the guns would shoot blanks?
Yes.
Do fake guns fire blanks?
No.
Okay, only real guns fire blanks, right?
Yes.
Okay. And sir, did you take note during your time on the set of Rust, did you notice whether or not Ms. Gutierrez's conduct as an armorer with regard to handing firearms to actors and taking firearms away from actors when a scene was over, do you recall taking note of that?
Yes.
Can you explain to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what, if anything, you noticed about the manner or how quickly Ms. Gutierrez would remove real firearms from actors when a scene was over?
It would depend on the scene and who the actors were.
Do you recall taking note that when a scene would be over, she would not immediately collect the firearms from the actors?
Yes.
Did that stand out to you?
Yes.
Why?
Every other show I'd been on previous to that, the armor would hand the gun right before the scene and take it away right after.
And that was not Ms. Gutierrez's practice?
Not that I can recollect.
Okay. And, sir, do you have personal knowledge and experience with revolvers?
Fairly decent.
Do you recall taking note of the manner in which Ms. Gutierrez would conduct the barrel check of the revolvers?
There was a few moments that I did notice, yes.
Okay. So, but first of all, I want you to kind of explain to the jury what your understanding is of why a barrel check is done and how it should be done.
Well, from my experience, the reason...
You're on mute, Coach.
Sure.
Objection.
Mr. Mortensen, let's proceed. Did you notice anything that caught your eye about the way that Ms. Gutierrez would conduct the barrel checks?
Yes.
Okay. And what did you notice specifically?
Can you describe specifically?
Well, let me do this. Do you recall discussing this during the interview that we did with you over Zoom?
I believe so, yes.
Do you recall exactly what you said to us that day?
I think so, yeah.
Do you need to see it to have your memory refreshed at all?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Mortensen, did that refresh your memory?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, can you answer my question now?
I can. So there would be moments on the set, and one that I can truly recollect was she took the gun from Alec and to check to see if the gun was clean, which there's a process that armors do, and
Can you tell the jury in your experience what that process is?
Yeah. In my experience, you always make sure you check if a gun is clean or how many rounds are inside the gun. But what you can do is you open the cylinder, and this is speaking with single action pistols, and you take the cylinder out, and because blanks have a lot of debris that comes out with the gunpowder, you check the barrel sometimes to just see if anything is lodged in there, because that can shoot out with the gunpowder. And you open the cylinder and you can look down the barrel, and if the cylinder is open, it's impossible to be shot or anything bad happen, because you can see straight through and you see daylight through the barrel of the gun.
And what caught your eye about the way that Ms. Gutierrez did those barrel checks?
When she looked, the cylinder was closed.
And so in your experience, when she looks and the cylinder is closed, what would she be able to see?
Nothing.
I'll pass the witness.
Cross-exam.
Mr. Mortensen, isn't it true that you can see light through that barrel just by pulling back the hammer?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of? You're not an armor, are you?
No, ma'am.
And you've never worked as an armor on any movie, have you?
No, ma'am.
In fact, in the filming of Rust, you were a wrangler, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Your responsibility is animals, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Horses?
Yes, ma'am.
Donkeys?
No.
You weren't responsible for the donkey? I thought we heard testimony about a donkey. That wasn't you, right?
Not that I can recollect.
Okay. And in fact, during the Rust filming, isn't it true that you didn't even wear a real firearm? You had a replica rubber gun, right?
Not that I can recollect.
You don't recollect if you wore a rubber, if you had a real firearm on Rust? Is that what you're saying?
I can't remember if I had even a gun belt on.
Okay. At any time when you would have a gun on Rust, wasn't it a rubber one?
Not that I can recollect.
So you don't remember you don't remember if you had a real gun or a rubber gun on this movie set. Is that what you're saying?
I can remember holding both a live gun and a rubber gun, but...
On the filming of Rust?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, in your direct testimony, one of the things I thought I wrote down that I heard you say was there is nothing directly about Ms. Gutierrez's work on that set that caused you concern. Do you remember telling the jury that in direct?
Yes.
Okay. And when you saw these guns on top of that cart, you weren't right over the prop cart, right? You were further away from that.
Beside it.
Were you even able to tell if these were non-functioning or functioning firearms?
Not that I could tell.
Okay. So, have you ever seen on any of the movies you've worked on a part-time armor?
Never.
And in the filming, in this filming on Rust, was there a time when horses ever got loose?
Yes.
And would you agree with me that that was an extremely dangerous situation?
I'll object to... Oh, I'm sorry. Let's approach.
Mr. Warrenson, do you need me to repeat the question?
No.
Okay, so can you answer the question?
Yes.
So horses, it is a dangerous thing to have horses on set, right?
Yes.
And you were the one responsible for wrangling those, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall a time on Rust when you had a problem getting paid on time?
Can we approach?
Mr. Mortensen, I'll re-ask the question here. So, do you ever recall a time on Rust when you had a problem getting paid on time?
I can't truly recollect.
Would it refresh your memory to take a look at your pretrial interview transcript?
Yeah, yes, please.
Okay, just a sec. Recollection?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
So was there ever a time on Rust that you recall not being paid on time?
Yes, at the very beginning.
Okay. Just a second, Your Honor. Mr. Mortensen, have you ever testified in court before?
No, ma'am.
I want to be clear. Did you see guns left unattended
on the prop cart after shooting scenes that involved the firing of blank ammunition?
Yes.
Thank you. I don't have anything further.
All right, this witness is excused. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. Okay, we're going to take our lunch break. Please be back at 1:10. Okay, downstairs at 1:10. Please don't talk among yourselves or anyone else about the evidence received here in court. Thank you.
All rise.
Do you swear affirm under penalty of law that the testimony you'll give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Have a seat. Talk into the microphone.
Ma'am, go ahead and state your full name for the record.
My name is Sherilyn Schaefer.
Ms. Schaefer, how are you currently employed?
I am employed as an EMT in the film industry, a medic.
Can you just explain to the jury the situation, the connection between movie sets and medics? Is a medic always on a movie set, and if so, why?
Usually, if it's a union show, a medic is always on set for the potential that there could be something dangerous that happens. But 99% of the time, we are in charge of making sure the actors, and not necessarily the actors, but the crew, have sunscreen, bug spray, Advil, electrolytes. If it's hot out, we make sure everyone stays hydrated. If it's cold, we hand out hot hands. That's majority of it. If somebody gets a splinter or a cut, we take care of those as well. If somebody gets injured enough that they need to go to get stitches or be seen, we bandage them up, we send them off. And then we are in charge of the paperwork that goes to the production to make sure that the injury can be to go through workers' comp so that it's not coming out of the crew or whoever's insurance.
Okay. How long have you worked generally in the film industry?
I started in the film industry in 2009.
Okay. And how long have you worked as a medic in the film industry?
Since 2014.
And can you summarize for the jury what your medical training consisted of that allowed you to be qualified for this position?
I'm a licensed EMT.
All right. Ms. Schaefer, approximately, since 2009, if you can guesstimate for us, approximately how many films have you worked on?
Film and TV?
Sure.
40 plus.
Okay, and of those, can you guesstimate for us again approximately how many had real firearms and an armorer on set?
Maybe 10, 12.
Was the handling of firearms by the armorer on the set of Rust different than what you were used to?
Yes.
Can you describe to the jury what you noticed, how you thought it was different?
I noticed the armorer on Rust did not secure the weapons as a normal armorer would, or an armorer on productions I had worked on before would. Normally, the weapon would be secured until it was time for the actor or stunt actor to need it. And then the armorer would go to their, generally a locked cabinet, grab the weapon, take it to the actor or stunt actor, With the first AD, sometimes a stunt coordinator, depending on who's there. Open the weapon, empty it, if it needs to be emptied. Show the actor or stunt actor the type of bullet, I guess you would call it, that's going to be in the gun. Show it that it's not real. Or essentially check it in front of the actor and the first AD to make sure that everyone's comfortable with it. And then hand it over to that performer for the shot, for whatever shot they are shooting.
And just to be clear, what you just described was what you are accustomed to.
That is correct.
Can you explain to the jury how that procedure worked on the set of Rust?
A lot of times when I would notice our armorer hand the guns over to the actors, sometimes checking them, sometimes not. Generally, once the scene is over, you would remove the weapon. The armorer would remove the weapon from the actor and resecure it until it is needed again. On Rust, that did not happen a good majority of the time. The actor still remained in possession of the weapon, whether it was in their holster or in their hands.
And can you kind of explain to the jurors how long the actors would be left with the weapons in their possession after the scene, and maybe discuss a little bit about how long it takes to do a turnaround?
Okay. There were a few times where, you know, they would have the weapon for a minute or two or so after we had cut. But then there would be other times where we would be turning around, and that's where the camera position changes. Like if we're looking at somebody and we turn around, then we're going to look the other direction at the actor. That can take, depending on all the moving parts, 20, 30 minutes, where they would still be in possession of the weapon.
And I just want to be clear, did you testify that you saw Ms. Gutierrez provide actors with weapons without conducting a safety check?
That is correct.
Did you ever have an occasion to notice whether or not any of the actors on the set of the movie did their own safety checks?
There were some times that the actors would open their weapons and look, you know, see either while it was being reloaded or not, opening it up and looking at it. And generally, on a film set, you would not do that without the armorer present in front of you. And if you did, then the armorer would need to be called back to recheck that weapon in front of you.
So when the actors would do their own safety checks, was Ms. Gutierrez participating in that?
Sometimes she was near, sometimes she wasn't. I don't recall exactly all the time. I didn't notice a lot, but there were some times where she could have been close by or not, but she was not directly in front of the actor.
Okay.
And it wasn't every actor. It was, you know, just a couple here and there.
Okay. Did you ever take note of how Ms. Gutierrez would load ammunition into her fanny pack?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ms. Schaefer, do you recall the question?
Could you repeat it again, please?
Did you ever take note of how Ms. Gutierrez would transfer ammunition from boxes to her fanny pack?
Yes. There was one occasion that I did see that.
Can you describe what you saw for the jury?
So there would be the boxes that had a styrofoam with the ammunition inside of it. And there were times I would see her take, or this one time, I saw her take the box and kind of tip it a little bit and use her fingers to put some in and then hand it back, I believe, to Ms. Zachary and get another box and do the same thing, put more in, put it back, get another box, put more in, put it back. So we're mixing multiple rounds inside of different, and again, I don't know what they were, but mixing different rounds for different weapons. There were some short ones, some long ones.
So during this instance where you saw Ms. Gutierrez load the fanny pack directly from the boxes, if you recall, would she take the time to check every round to make sure that it was inert?
No.
All right. In your experience in the film industry, does the armor always stay with the firearm?
Yes. Or within proximity, be able to visually see. You mean when the actor has the weapon?
Correct.
Yeah, to be able to visually see.
Was that the case on the set of Rust?
No. Not always.
I'm going to shift gears and direct your attention to October 21st of 2021. If you can just kind of walk the jury through how that day went and what you recall. You can start before the lunch hour, and then we'll kind of move through it, okay?
Okay. About 6:30 was my call time that morning, and that's what time I needed to be on set. I arrived on set. I arrived to base camp first, grabbed breakfast. I don't remember if we had a COVID test that day or not, but then I went up to set. And I have a trauma bag that I take with me, and I have a box and a stand that has, inside the box will have the emergency, will have tissue, it'll have cough drops, it'll have those sorts of things that a crew member might want, as well as containers of sunscreen and bug spray, because at that time we had the sun and bugs. So I went and I set my stuff down at the middle of the town. And on the radio, there was a little bit of noise about the camera department being behind schedule. And I had asked somebody, I'm not sure who, one of our, either our, one of our other ADs or one of our PAs on set, a production assistants on set, I had asked what was going on, and they had said that the camera department was not ready to go and wouldn't be ready to go on time. I generally, I'm friends with the majority of everybody on set. I've worked with everybody a lot. And so I went over to where the camera truck was to kind of see if I could see what was going on or talk to anybody about what was going on, because I knew that they had some issues with the production. And I noticed that they were packing up all their equipment. You know, so I watched them do that for a little while, but then I had to go back to setting everything else up that I had to set up. And at some point in time, our first AD, Dave Hollis, had called for a safety meeting that morning, which was rare. And it was more of a meeting to kind of get the crew back together again, because we were all kind of spread out and trying to figure out what was going on that morning. And so he you know, in the safety meeting, he just said that we were going to have a...
I'm assuming... Okay, sorry.
I can say what it is.
Ms. Schaefer, without saying what anyone said, can you summarize for the jury what your understanding was of the purpose for that meeting?
The purpose of that meeting was to get the crew back together as we were scattered, to try to get the day started. We were already so far behind with the camera crew leaving.
And when scenes are being filmed on the set, are you present every time a scene is being filmed?
95% of the time, okay. Unless I need to use the restroom or something.
Okay. Were scenes being filmed that morning before lunch?
Yes.
And were you present for those?
Yes.
Do you recall if any of those scenes involved the use of firearms?
I'm not sure about the first scene. I don't remember what we shot. The second part was before lunch, right after we moved up to the church. We had a scene. I'd like to say that it used weapons. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Did you, during that scene, did you see any of the handoff of the weapon from the armor to the actor?
I did not.
Okay. And then at some point, do you go to lunch?
Yes.
And when lunch is over, tell us what happens.
After lunch, I had gotten a ride up to set from our base camp, which was just a few minutes away down the road, and I had walked from where they drop us off up to where the church is, and was waiting for the rest of the crew and the rest of the departments to get to set as well. And so I sat down on the end of a tailgate that was nearby. I believe it was electric truck, but I'm not positive.
Okay. Tell us what happened after that.
Sorry.
It's okay. Take your time.
I was talking to whoever was sitting next to me, maybe a locations person, I don't remember. And the sound of a gun went off, or I heard the sound of a gun. And I looked over at who was sitting next to me, and I said, are we rehearsing? Because I didn't know that we were back in at that point. I hadn't heard anything on the radio about us being back in and from lunch. And I said, I didn't hear anybody call, you know, fire in the hole, or normally, like you would hear, the armorer would say quarter load, half load, full load, whatever type of ammunition that they are shooting. And none of that was said. So as soon as I said that, I grabbed the bag, my normal bag, and I ran towards the church. I wasn't very far from it. And at that, as I was approaching the door, I heard medic emergency come over the radio.
And are you the only medic on set?
I am.
Okay. So when you heard medic emergency on the radio, did that information tell you where to go?
No.
How did you know where to go?
I was there. I was sitting there outside the church waiting.
Okay. Understood. Please proceed.
So I got to the door, and one of the things that we are taught in when you're becoming an EMT is your scene needs to be safe before you go into it. So I stood at the door and I looked around to see what was happening, and I asked what happened, and somebody said Helena was shot, or the gun went off, something to that effect. And I looked down at Helena, who had been sitting at that point to my right, and Joel was on the left, in obvious pain, and Alec Baldwin was at the back of the church from me, the opposite end of the church from me, and then I looked down at Helena again, and as I started going towards her, I believe it was our camera operator Reed had asked her if she could feel her legs, and for one I believe she said yes, for the other one she said no. And so I knew that there was some sort of spinal injury at that point. And as I was going towards her, I could see the blood dripping from her back onto the church floor.
Was she still seated at this point, or was she...
She was leaning kind of on a pew.
Okay.
In my regular, my smaller bag, I carry trauma shears, and so I started cutting up the back of her jacket to try to find where she was bleeding from. And at some point in time, I believe it was Ann Shim, our second AD, asked me if there's anything that I needed or she could do for me. And I called out on the radio for somebody to call 911. We would need an ambulance. And Ann then asked me if I needed anything, and I asked her to get me my bigger trauma bag, because that's where I keep my trauma-related items. And she did, and I asked her to also call Matt Hemmer, who's one of our electricians. I asked her to call him because he had some previous military experience medically, and he was one of the people I knew I could get up there to help me. Being the only medic and two patients is not easy. And so I had him just take over for Joel while I tended to Helena.
And so if you can kind of explain to us what kind of treatment you attempted with regard to Ms. Hutchins.
When I cut up the front of her, or the back of her jacket, I grabbed some gauze and I put it on the one hole that I could find at that point. And I asked, at that point, I believe it was Reed was next to me. I gave him a glove and I asked him to hold that gauze there. And sometime in the meantime, we had moved the pews, or the guys had moved the pews away and laid her down. And I went to the front of her to cut up the front of her shirt, the chest area, to try to find the other hole. Knowing that Joel had been shot, I knew that it was a through and through, or in one side out the other.
You already suspected that it was a through and through?
Yes, because okay. Because of the way that Joel was screaming in pain, I knew he had likely, whatever had gone through her had gone into him as well.
Okay, please proceed.
So I cut up the front and I could not find an entrance wound, and so I had to keep looking until I found the other wound. I didn't know what was entrance and what was exit at that point. And when I did, I grabbed another gauze that I have and I put it there to apply pressure. And I'm not sure at what point. I think I asked Serge or somebody who was somebody else who was nearby to hold that and apply pressure while I went and grabbed oxygen.
Okay, and so give us just a little bit of information about your oxygen apparatus and what you did with that.
It's in my main bag, so I grabbed it. I grabbed my main bag and pulled it over, and it's a non-rebreather, so it's the mask that goes over the face, and it has a bag at the bottom that inflates, and so the oxygen is delivered that way through the mask. It's got the things go around the back of the head, hold the mask on.
Okay, and just to be clear, we heard some testimony earlier in the trial about Ms. Hutchins being intubated. Did you have anything to do with that process?
I did not.
Okay. Go ahead and proceed.
So I put oxygen on her and I called back to the ambulance, I called back on the radio to make sure, to have somebody call back, or whoever was communicating with 911, that we would need two ambulances and a bird at that point, because I knew Joel would need an ambulance and she was going to need a helicopter.
You already knew she was going to need a helicopter?
With that kind of trauma, yes. We are 15, 18 minutes from the hospital, from town, and with the way that she was bleeding, I knew she was going to need more than than we could provide, or an ambulance could provide, or Santa Fe hospitals could provide. She needed to go to the trauma center in Albuquerque.
Okay. And do you have any knowledge about the condition that a patient has to be in order for the helicopter to take off?
They need to be stabilized.
And do you know why that is, given your medical training?
I do not.
Okay, fair enough. After you called for two ambulances and a helicopter, what did you do at that point in time?
I just continued. Helena was fighting. She didn't want the oxygen on her face. She didn't want anybody holding anything on her. She was fighting. And Serge was there too.
We understand that you were providing oxygen and that Ms. Hutchins was struggling with that. Was there anything else that happened other than that before paramedics arrived and took over that you can recall?
There was a point in time when I first had walked in, there were still people inside, and so I had said to whoever was there AD-wise to remove anybody that was in the church that didn't need to be there. If they weren't some of the people that I had asked to help, then they needed to be removed, Alec being one of them. He was still in the church shortly after I got in there. Sorry, I'm bouncing backwards a little.
No, no, it's okay. So you asked an assistant director to do that for you?
I believe, either assistant director or PA, somebody.
And a PA is a production assistant?
Production assistant, which is when you're first trying to get in the union as a... In their union as an AD, you have to become a PA first, and you have to have so many days of PA work that you submit to the union before you can start as the next, I believe it's the second is the...
Okay. All right. Understood. So whoever it was that you spoke to and you asked them to remove Mr. Baldwin and any other unnecessary people, did that person do that for you?
Yes.
Okay. And at some point, did paramedics arrive?
Yes.
Do you have any idea how long it took them to get there?
It felt like forever. I believe, though, it was... I don't have an exact time. I believe 12, 15 minutes.
Okay. And
I do believe that there was a... before the ambulance arrived, there might have been somebody else, a police officer, maybe that was around, but ambulance-wise, it was quite some time.
Okay, and do you recall a police officer coming in with a medical bag and handing items to you?
I do, vaguely, but I do.
Okay. In your medical training, are you aware of the procedure that's done when a person is intubated, even though you didn't participate in that in this case?
Yes.
And are you aware that sometimes...
Objection. More raw courtroom audio from the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial is on the way.
Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment.
From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.